There was an article in 2012 which discusses reality TV. The article reads, "Just how real is reality TV?" That's been the subject of frequent debate for viewers, reality stars, and television critics since the genre first took off. But according to one reality TV bigwig, there really isn't anything to debate. Mike Fleiss, the creator and executive producer of The Bachelor, insists that more often than not, reality shows aren't the real deal. "I think most of the shows are fake," Fleiss revealed. "They're loosely scripted, things are planted, things are salted into the environment so things seem more shocking." Fleiss's take on reality TV comes just after a former participant from HGTV's House Hunters claimed that much of the action on that popular series is set up and reenacted for effect, an allegation the network didn't exactly challenge. Now, I don't know if you're shocked by this article or not. Certainly, if you assume that everything you see on reality TV is real, then this is certainly jarring. But, like most of you, you probably assume that there are many things that are scripted by the producers, things that they set up. But you know what? I think more often than not, when we watch an episode of reality TV, you don't even think about that. You watch it for what it is. You don't think, oh, this is staged, this is fake. If you think about wrestling, WWE, formerly the WWF, you know it's fake, but how often do you really think about it that it's fake? Now, there's a midrash which links together the following phrases. Pako pakadati, which was a phrase in the beginning of Sefer Shmos in Perek Gimel, which was a very important phrase related to Moshe being told by Hashem to go to the Zakenim and tell them that Hashem hasn't forgotten Bnei Israel, and Hashem is going to be redeeming them from Mitzrayim. So the Midrash links that phrase and other phrases with that root of Pei Kuf Dalet. And the last on the list is Ve'eleb Kudei HaMishkan, the first pasuk of the last parsha in Sefer Shmos, which we read this week. So like I said, the former deals with the Gula, the redemption itself, and Ve'eleb Kudei HaMishkan is discussing the completion of the Mishkan. So what do these things have in common? So the Ramban notes that the name Chazal gives Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Now it seems like a pretty poor choice of a title, being that the Jewish people are redeemed before the midway point of the Sefer. It's like a movie killing off its main character 30 minutes into the film. You just don't do that, obviously. Now, the Ramban explains that it's a mistake to think that just because Bnei Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim in Parshas B'Shalach, that doesn't really mean that they're totally redeemed. Because they might physically be redeemed, but their spiritual level and the closeness they have to Hashem is certainly a lot to bridge that gap, to have a full redemption. The Ramban says that it's only when you have the Mishkan, when Hashem's Shekhinah is amongst Bnei Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael are certainly now at a much more higher spiritual level, that's when you have the full redemption. The Abarbanel points out that we shouldn't listen to the beliefs of many non-Jews who say they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but that's it. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. Hashem's not involved in our daily lives. Hashem doesn't care about the minutia, about the average Joe on the street. It just doesn't matter. And the Abarbanel says, "Ukedei lahasir melibo b'nei Yisrael ha'emunot ha'kuzavos," that we have to remove these false accusations of emuna, of improper faith from our hearts. "Tziva shiasu lo mishkan kodesh u'mekudash ka'ilu, hu yisbarach ba'atmo yishkom besocham." That Hashem commanded us to build the Mishkan, to have this holiness amongst our midst, to realize that Hashem is with us. "Sheaminu imze ki kel chai bekirbam v'ashkacha so helyona dveika imahem." That Hashem, we are clung to Him, and Hashem is in our midst, and we are constantly being, Hashem's constantly influencing the world. And Hashem's hashkacha, Hashem's dominion and power and constant interaction with the world is something that is always going on. He says, "V'zeh inyan v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." And this is the meaning of Hashem saying, "I'm dwelling amongst you, b'nei Yisrael." I was thinking about a stark contrast between Purim and Pesach on this theme of Hashem's involvement, Hashem's engagement in the world. On Purim, we read Megillas Esther, where Hashem's name is notably absent. While on Pesach, we read the story where Hashem is commanded to confront Paro, specifically to proclaim the name of Hashem. Moshe is told to say that he's a messenger of Hashem. He's not speaking to Paro on his behalf. He's a shliach. Hashem's name gets a lot of screen time, and it's made crystal clear that Hashem is heavily involved in the redemption process from beginning until the end. Both stories, the Purim story and the Geula from Mitzrayim, are orchestrated by Hashem. One of them has no mention of it, and the other has nonstop mention of it. Throughout life, it's possible to live a Purim story type of existence. A reality TV show type of existence, right? Where something's going on, you see something happening, and you don't even stop to think that, you know, the producer is actually calling all the shots. That really Hashem is behind everything in the Purim story. You're simply in life, sometimes you're going about your business, you're saying things like, what a coincidence, paying no attention to the fact that Hashem's the one pulling the strings. And at best, you look back, and maybe in hindsight, you look at your life events, and you realize, you know, I don't know if this was really a coincidence after all. But of course it's possible that you won't even do that. And you won't even think to realize at the end sometimes that Hashem's the one who's heavily involved in what's going on in our lives. Right now, though, in America and the world at large, I'd argue that we're in a Pesach type of existence, where it's impossible not to see the name of Hashem written all over everything that's going on. As one of my colleagues said to me, I don't know what Hashem is trying to tell us, but he's definitely trying to tell us something. We may not be experiencing a nevuah or hearing the sounds of a baskal, but Hashem is clearly communicating with us. Heard a story from Rav Moshe Benevitz that when he was in MTA, that's when the high school started davening all together. At first, people used to daven at home, and then everyone gathered together to daven as a tzibur. And just like in most high schools, I can speak for Kushner where I work, where on non-laning days you have a rebbe or a teacher get up there and say a few words, whatever it may be. And he said that Rabbi Schiller from MTA, I believe he's still there, almost positive he's still there. So one time he gets up there, he held the chumash in his hands, and he says to everyone, I just want to share my favorite pasuk with you in the whole Torah. Because it comes up in this week's Parsha. Everyone starts perking up and thinking, you know, I'm curious to know what's Rabbi Schiller's favorite pasuk. He says, let me find the place. And he opens the Chumash. It's a very dramatic scene. Flips to the page. He says, here it is. Let me read it to you. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. And he pauses. Everyone's thinking, what's the next pasuk? What's it going to be? And he goes back and he says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. He stops again. And he says, what are you waiting for? That's it. That is my favorite pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. The infinite and omnipotent God speaks to finite man. That is the most amazing pasuk in the Torah. But in our natural order in our lives right now, are being totally uprooted, and routine is out the window, it's impossible to not see that Hashem is talking to us. That just like as amazing it is that Hashem spoke face to face with Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem certainly right now is communicating with each and every one of us. There are a lot of lessons we could take from this on a personal and communal level. And I don't want to get into more lessons and specific lessons right now, but on the most basic level, step one is to simply be aware that Hashem runs the world. Hashem's the one calling the shots, and sometimes Hashem is behind the screen, and sometimes, like now, Hashem lets us, in a certain sense, see himself in a more clear way. But even when things are not in disarray, when there's not a request to self-quarantine, when there's not a curfew of 8 p.m. in the state of New Jersey, and at some point, hopefully soon, when our lives go back to normal and all this is behind us, we should continue to see the Yad Hashem in our daily lives. May Hashem heal Klal Yisrael and the world at large, and may this difficult situation be over as quickly as it came.